scared? What can I do? How can I help? The call that you're making to him is, Kelsey, the mother of your child, is missing.
Disbelief. I can't even really remember how scared I felt.
Car of a missing Denver woman has been found in Pueblo.
Her family is pleading for your help.
The law enforcement has informed us that Dante Lucas accessed her bank account.
Kelsey's family offers a $50,000 reward.
We do not have a record of Kelsey Schilling ever being here.
Hi, welcome back to True Crime Brewery. I'm Jill.
And I'm Dick. Happy Tuesday.
And this episode is called Expectations, the Disappearance of Kelsey Schilling. So this is an interesting case that there was actually a 2020 a little while back that we watched about it.
Yeah, not too long ago.
Right. And then we decided to go online and get some more info.
That's right.
Yeah. So Kelsey Schilling, she drove from her hometown of Denver to Pueblo, Colorado on the evening of February 4th, 2013 to see her boyfriend, Dante Lucas. The day before, Kelsey had been at the doctor and found out that she was 8 weeks pregnant. Now, Dante was not happy to hear that Kelsey was pregnant with his child. In fact, Kelsey told her mom that Dante was angry with her for getting pregnant.
Like it's all her fault.
Yeah, exactly. Dante lived in Pueblo with his grandmother, and he sent Kelsey texts asking her to come to Pueblo for a surprise. On February 5th, Kelsey and her car were missing, and 8 or 9 days later, her car was found, but still no Kelsey. So now it's 3.5 years later, and Kelsey still hasn't been found.
And it's unlikely she ever will be.
Yeah, as we see with most of these cases, that's probably true.
Right.
But we're going to talk about it anyway.
We'll give our take on it.
Yeah. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to do 2 5-star reviews today, and then you can do your beer.
Sounds good.
Okay. So the first one, Thoroughly Enjoy Your Podcast by Hazel H. I feel like I'm comfortably sitting at the bar with two interesting, lovely people, enamored by the true crime story they are telling me. Please keep it up, Jill and Dick. You rock. That's a pretty good one. That might be in the running for the snifter.
It could be.
Yeah, it's succinct.
It's terse, yes.
Yes.
But I like the part about how wonderful we are.
You can't do better than lovely and interesting, can you?
No.
No.
I mean, witty and charming.
Right. Similar.
Yep.
Yeah. So welcome to the brewery, Hazel H.
Thanks, Hazel.
And one more is Really Good Listen by VixDivXN. VXDVXN. How would I say that? VixDivXN.
I guess that's as close as I could come.
Okay. This is a well thought out and researched podcast. It has a comfy type feel as if you're sitting around the table with friends discussing true crime. I can't drink beer, but the reviews sound great. So pull up a comfy chair and enjoy. Great job.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's a pretty good one, too. I always like when we get some credit for research, because we do spend a lot of time on that.
Well, one of us does.
Yeah. So welcome to the brewery, VixDivXN.
Okay.
I've butchered it thoroughly.
Yeah, I hope that person knows who it is.
Yeah, I'm sure they will, because I spelled it out. So how can you miss?
Can't.
Okay, what have we got for a beer today?
We have a very nice Imperial Stout.
Okay.
So she lived in Denver.
Yes.
Colorado has a lot of great breweries. I picked one called Great Divide Brewing Company, which is in Denver.
Yep.
And I picked one of the stouts. Now, Their primary stout, or imperial stout, is called Yeti, after the abominable snowman.
Yeah, I've seen that around the house a few times.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've had it here. And they have a few different incarnations of it. So, I had chocolate oak-aged Yeti.
Okay.
So, it's just, like I said, another incarnation of the Yeti imperial stout.
Mm-hmm.
There tends to be less hops in this one, with the addition of some cocoa nibs. And it's aged in oak barrels.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very nice beer. It's a nice black color. You can see some garnet hanging around the edges as the light shines through.
Right.
Little tiny head, maybe some lacing, not much. The aroma is chocolate and cocoa.
That's good. Yeah, I like that. Okay, so if you hear a little noise, we're babysitting our nephew dog, Finn. And he's playing with his ball here, and he keeps jumping off and down off the bed, so I think I'm going to move him after your beer review.
That might be a good idea, because okay. That ball's going to be flying all over the place.
I know. So just bear with it until the beer review's over, and we'll get him out of here.
Okay. So the aroma also has some vanilla in it from the oak that it's aged in. The taste is quite exciting. It's got a very strong bittersweet chocolate taste that sweetens up a little bit towards the end of it. And there's the vanilla taste.
I like vanilla. That's good.
This is a very nice beer. It's a big beer. I mean, not hugely alcoholic, but big enough and a great one to have.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So let's put Finn in the other room and open the beer.
Okay.
All right. So, Dickie, let's head down to the quiet end of the bar to talk about Kelsey Schelling and her disappearance.
That's a great idea. I'm looking down that way, and it seems that happy hour is over.
Yeah, so it's just about that time.
Yeah, maybe there's some food left. We can scarf up a few things, and then I don't have to cook dinner tonight.
That sounds like a great plan.
All right, let's go.
All right, let's go. All right, this is perfect. So, Kelsey Schelling was 21 years old on February 4th, 2013. It was a Monday, and she had a doctor's appointment to confirm what 3 home pregnancy tests had already told her. She was pregnant with Dante Lucas's child. An ultrasound of the embryo confirmed that she was actually 8 weeks along. So, Dante Lucas was Kelsey's kind of off-again and on-again boyfriend, but according to her friends, she loved him very much. And although she hadn't planned on the pregnancy, she was excited to raise her child, and she had the support of her mother, Laura Saxton, to help her along with that. Kelsey and her mom were very close. It had just been the two of them most of the time since Laura's divorce from Kelsey's father, Doug, and that was back when Kelsey was only 11. So Kelsey had texted an ultrasound image of their embryo to Dante, and he'd been angry and yelling at Kelsey the previous day when she did the home pregnancy tests. So that's not a good sign right there.
No, it sounds like he wasn't real excited to being a father.
No, not at all.
How'd they meet?
I believe they met at college. They were both in college, and they met in 2012 and were together for a while. They both ended up dropping out at different times, and they rehooked up in 2013. They actually spent a lot of time together Christmas of 2012, so that's when they think that she got pregnant. But, I'd just like to say that her friends weren't very happy when she got back together with him. They didn't think he treated her very well.
No, I mean, from what we've seen and read, they weren't a great couple. She was working hard to be in love with him, and he wasn't reciprocating.
Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like he was very good to her.
Does not at all.
No.
I think he was a basketball player.
Yeah, 6'7", and in high school he was quite the star, and he thought he was going to end up being really something on the court. Yeah.
He's going to be in the NBA.
And that didn't work out, as it doesn't for most people.
Well,
it's just
such
a long shot.
The majority of great ball players don't ever come close to being in the NBA.
Right.
So he was hoping to get a scholarship to a Division I school and get noticed and then move on.
That was the plan for him, I think.
That didn't happen.
And
he ended up at a junior college.
Yes.
So he was going to be the big man in a very small pond.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, he actually texted Kelsey to come to Pueblo to see him that day on the 4th. And on Monday, Dante repeatedly texted her and asked her to drive to Pueblo. So he'd actually texted her and asked her to come on Sunday, but she was tired and she worked and she didn't want to do it. So again on Monday, he started repeatedly asking her to come to Pueblo. And she was really tired, but he said that he had a surprise for her. And when she asked what the surprise was, Dante answered it was something that would put her in a better mood and that she wouldn't even believe it if he told her, probably. So he was really kind of luring her?
Sounds like he was.
That doesn't sound very objective, but
no,
it's what it's looking like.
I mean, the day before he was yelling at her.
Yes.
For being pregnant. And now he's sounding, I mean, if I'm Kelsey, I'm thinking, he's going to ask me to marry him.
Right.
You know?
Well, maybe not. I don't know
if
people think that way nowadays, but at least he was going to be involved, maybe.
I think when he says a big surprise that he's promising her,
she's thinking it's a ring.
If I'm a 21-year-old woman, I'm thinking, all right.
Maybe.
So.
Well, that's especially cruel then, if that's the case.
Well, as it turns out, yeah.
Yeah.
But at the time, you know, she's gone from him yelling at her to him saying, you know, I really want you to come down to Pueblo. I've got something for you. It's a great surprise. You won't believe it when you see it.
Yeah, that kind of makes it sound like he was wanting her to believe that that was what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as you said, like he's luring her down. I mean, that's in hindsight, but
yeah,
you know, I think that's the quickest way to get her to come down there is to tell her the things he told her.
Right, right. And it seems like he didn't have a car because he was riding around in her car. And
yeah.
And why didn't he go to her?
But his grandmother, well, did she have a car? The lady he lived with?
Yeah, and his mother. Yeah.
So he drove around, just not his car.
Right, right. I don't know if he had a job at the time, but she did.
Yep.
Yeah. So Kelsey did finally agree to drive to Pueblo after work that night, and she left around 8:30 p.m. She was driving her black 2011 Chevy Cruze. Kelsey and Dante were supposed to meet at an intersection near the home of Dante's grandmother, and that was after she went to the Walmart parking lot to meet him, and he didn't show up. So he said he'd meet her on this street near the grandmother's house.
Yeah, I'm wondering, the heck is this?
Yeah, it's just weird.
Why doesn't he just say, come to my Grammy's house?
Right.
I'll be there.
I mean, yeah, why
first,
couldn't
first
she come?
First he sends her to the Walmart?
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know.
I don't know
and,
either.
And she waits there for a while and he doesn't show up. And
yeah.
Then he says, they'll meet me on such and such a street.
Yeah, it seems like he was stringing her along.
It does sound like that.
Yeah, it's sad. And when she arrived at the near the grandmother's house, she sent him a text and she told him she was waiting for him. She waited there for at least an hour.
Yeah, and she was there for over an hour. She kept texting him, where are you at? And he kept texting back, I'll be there in a minute.
Yeah.
Finally, she threatened to leave without seeing Dante because she was tired and wanted to be home in her bed. And
God, I'm sure she was. It was like a 2-hour drive. She'd worked.
Yeah, she'd worked. She'd driven down from Denver.
Yeah.
She waited in the Walmart parking lot for who knows how long, an hour or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she's been waiting in this street, on this street, for another hour or so.
Right,
she must be dead.
Yeah.
So that's the last that we heard from her, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next day, Laura Saxton, her mother, tried to call her. Kelsey didn't answer. Laura kept trying to get in touch with her, but couldn't get a hold of Kelsey. Kelsey's friends called Laura on Saturday.
Right. Saturday. Yeah. So it was Monday. She was missing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
So this is...
They finally called her mother on Saturday.
Already several days.
Yes.
And her friends told her they couldn't find Kelsey.
Yeah, so, and that's when she really panicked, because Kelsey would have been in touch with her friends.
Yeah, well, I would have probably panicked a few days before.
Well, maybe not. I mean, an adult kid, you might only talk to him once or twice a week.
They lived together and they were very close.
No, she didn't live with her.
She didn't?
No.
Okay, but no. They were very close.
They were very close, but I don't know how often they talked.
Yeah, that's true. So, Mom called the Denver police and filed a missing persons report immediately after talking to Kelsey's friends.
Yes. Yes,
but
she did.
At the time she did that, she didn't know that Kelsey had driven down to Pueblo.
No, no one knew about it. She didn't tell anyone.
Oh.
She didn't tell her father, her mother, or any of her friends what she was doing.
Right. So Mom told police that her daughter, Kelsey, had hazel eyes, dark brown hair, 5'4" tall, 120 pounds.
Yep.
And hoped that with that description they could be looking for her.
Right. Well, and she also has multiple tattoos. She has a Chinese symbol on the back of her neck. She has some cursive writing on the inside of her arm. A green skeleton key on the left side of her chest with the word love, and a fleur-de-lis on the right side of her rib cage, and the Roman numerals XC1. What is that now? That's
91.
Yeah. Okay. So on the right side of her chest.
No.
Well, if she was 21 in 2013...
She would have been born in 92.
Well, it could have been 91 then. Because her birthday was just a couple weeks after she went missing, now that I think about it.
Okay.
So that must have been the year of her birth.
Maybe that's her birth year.
That sounds right.
Sounds like she was fairly heavily tattooed.
Yeah. I think by today's standards, that's not heavily tattooed.
Well, that's true, you know, I guess.
A lot of people have sleeves, have major... These are just a few little tattoos. I don't think it's a lot.
Nicely arranged.
Yeah. So Denver police began their investigation by tracking her movements using her cell phone. Signals from her phone indicated that Kelsey had gone to Pueblo, and her phone battery ran out on February 7th, and that was the Thursday after she was last seen or heard from.
Mm-hmm.
Denver police issued a bulletin with Kelsey's pictures and a picture of her car, and then they contacted the Pueblo police, and the investigation into her disappearance then moved to southern Colorado.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's where she was. That's where she went missing.
Right, but they didn't know at first when she was reported.
No, I know.
They didn't know because she hadn't told anyone she was going there. So until they checked the cell phone records, they had no way of knowing that.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Pueblo police sought the public's help in locating Kelsey.
Right.
They asked store and restaurant managers to search their security videos for images of Kelsey or her car. So there is a Walmart video cam that showed Kelsey's car as it was driven in the parking lot at 12 o'clock Tuesday, February 5th, which is...
Yeah, so midnight.
Right.
Yeah.
So she had worked that day, she left, and she's arriving at the Walmart.
Yeah.
So, in Pueblo.
So it was that late. You know, I think it's kind of rude. I mean, everything else aside, I think it's really rude that he asked her to drive all that way and then meet him in the parking lot.
Huh. You won't get any argument from me.
Yeah. It's not gentlemanly at all.
No.
No.
But she went.
I know. It seems like she was really hooked on him. You know how young women can be. So it's it's really not good.
We have a few young women.
Yeah.
In our household.
Right.
And we know how they can be.
Yeah. Well, in our household. Sometimes they're in our household.
Right.
Yeah.
So the video showed Dante Lewis climbing out of Kelsey's car.
Right, right.
So we didn't see who drove it to there.
No.
We just saw him climbing out, walked to the back of the car, and got into his mother's car.
Yeah.
So no Kelsey, just Dante in Kelsey's car, driving it into the Walmart lot.
Right.
Parking it, getting out, and getting into his mother's car.
Yeah, so that certainly would raise some suspicions.
You think?
Yeah. And the car remained there overnight, and at 7:20 a.m. the next morning, a man wearing sunglasses, gloves, and a hoodie came out from behind the Walmart, walked directly to Kelsey's car, opened the door, climbed in, and immediately drove the car away. But they weren't able to identify who that was. So that's the one disappointing part of that.
Right.
Yeah.
But who do you think it was?
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
So police determined that the last messages Kelsey had sent from her cell phone were to her boyfriend, Dante, on Monday night. They also discovered that Dante Lucas had used Kelsey's debit card to take money from her account at Cannon National Bank in Pueblo that same night. So talk about disrespectful. Oh my God. What do you think of that?
You know, he didn't have a job. He needed some money.
Yeah.
And I know what that can say is that he probably had done it before and he had her permission to do it.
Yeah, but before she didn't go missing and she wasn't pregnant.
Right. So there's some extenuating circumstances this time.
Yeah. Like I told you before, the leading cause of death in pregnant women is murder.
Right.
By the father
and
of the baby.
By the father of the baby.
Which is just haunting. It shocks me. But it's true. So whenever a pregnant woman goes missing, it's really a scary thing because she probably has been killed.
We're going to look at the father of the child.
Yeah. That's right. So on February 14th, Kelsey's Chevy Cruze was found. And it was in the parking lot of St. Mary Corwin Hospital in Pueblo. Police scanned the hospital videotape from the parking lot, and a videotape dated February 7th at 5:30 a.m., so that was the Thursday morning, shows someone driving the black Cruze into that parking lot. So someone's moving the car.
Right. But they couldn't recognize the driver of the car.
No, they couldn't. So there's another disappointment. So
the car appeared in the Walmart parking lot. They saw Dante get out, get into his mother's car.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They saw some figure the next morning, right?
Yep, the next morning.
Next morning.
Coming from behind the Walmart.
Coming from behind the Walmart, kind of in disguise.
Which will lead you to believe they're trying to avoid being seen by cameras.
Certainly.
Because they wouldn't want to pull their car in front there.
And got in the car and drove off.
Yes.
And then the next day, it's parked in the hospital parking lot.
Well, they didn't find it till the 14th, but yes, on the 7th, it was found. It was okay. They found the footage that showed that's when it was brought there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And still, there's no sign of Kelsey driving the car.
No sign of her. No, nobody heard from her. She hadn't used her credit cards or her phone, nothing.
Yeah.
Very, very odd.
Very disturbing.
Very scary, yeah. So a police report said that the lights of the vehicle, so this is the vehicle that was brought to the hospital. The lights of the vehicle came on as if the vehicle had been locked, and an unidentified person left the scene on foot. So I think they mean they clicked the button that the lights flash, you're locking it.
You're locking it up.
So someone locked the car and walked away.
Yeah.
Why they locked the car, I have no idea. No. Any reasons why you think? Just habit?
Maybe just habit. Maybe he didn't want it being stolen. I don't know.
I don't know. It can be a habit. I know I lock my car even when it's in the garage.
Yeah.
Just by habit, I push that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So. Now, Pueblo police released snapshots from the video at Walmart to the TV stations and the newspapers. The photos are grainy, and it's very difficult to try and identify who the person was. So Pueblo detectives interviewed Dante Lucas on February 15th of 2013. And he denied knowing what happened to Kelsey. He did acknowledge that he met Kelsey late Monday night, and he'd gotten into the driver's seat and drove her to different locations. He told police Kelsey was feeling sick in the morning, so he drove her to Parkview Medical Center on 16th Street in Pueblo. He said he waited in the car while Kelsey went in to get medical help and was in there for an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then when she came out, she said she wasn't pregnant anymore.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Now, regardless of all the things where it could be a crime and all this, who would drop off their pregnant girlfriend at the hospital and wait in the fucking car?
And not go in.
That's just... He just seems like... He was a jerk from the get-go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not a gentleman in any shape or form.
No.
No.
So in the further adventures of Dante,
yeah,
he told police that he and Kelsey drove together to the Cannon National Bank. He said that Kelsey was in the car, and she allowed him to use her debit card so he could withdraw money from her account.
Now, why is he taking $400 from her,
Who knows?
If she had been there?
Right.
Not nice.
Had bills to pay.
Yeah, right. Cell phone.
Afterwards, they drove to Walmart and got into an argument, is what Dante told police.
Right.
He told them that Kelsey told him she needed to get back to Denver so she could work the next day. But when police reviewed the surveillance tape from the Parkview Hospital, where Dante said they went and she came out and said she wasn't pregnant.
Yeah.
They didn't find an image of Kelsey entering the hospital.
No, they didn't.
And there's absolutely no record of her receiving medical treatment that night either.
No.
So then they also reviewed surveillance footage from the bank. They saw Dante drive up to the ATM, make a withdrawal, but Kelsey was not seen in the car.
So right there they caught him in a lie.
Yeah, they've got him in a couple of lies.
Yeah. And after they caught him in these lies, he finally decided he didn't want to talk to them anymore without a lawyer.
Right.
And that was kind of the end of that.
Yeah, they stopped there.
Yeah. I mean,
they had him.
They did.
Or it seems like they had him.
Right.
I mean, they got him making this elaborate story that's full of holes.
Right, right.
And they're going to get ready to go in and get him.
Sure.
And he lawyers up. Or he threatens to lawyer up.
Right.
And that's it.
That's it. Which I would always tell someone to get a lawyer, but...
Yeah. So, my question is, he gets a lawyer, you continue to question him.
Right, right.
Right?
You would think so, but...
But that's not what happened.
That's not what happened. But the Pueblo police did arrest Dante on February 15th, that day, but he wasn't charged with the murder. He was held on 3 counts of identity theft and the theft of less than $500 for the taking the money out of the bank. And then he was released on a $25,000 bond, so he didn't even spend the night in jail.
No.
No.
And they didn't even get those charges to stick anyway.
No, they didn't. And according to Kelsey's mother, the Pueblo Police Department did kind of a shitty job here. And I can kind of see where she's coming from what I've read.
Well, it appears that way. I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
I know it's easy for us to say that.
It's easy to say. We're basing right. this on interviews and stuff. And there's nothing that we've heard from the Pueblo Police Department.
Sure, but so, it just seems like they're flashing red lights telling us that he did something
to her.
It sure
seems like it, but we don't know the whole story. So I'm going to reserve judgment.
Okay. So Kelsey's brother Colby told reporters that Kelsey is a faithful person with a big heart, an electric smile, and this was in a news conference on March 12th of 2013. Colby said she's close with family and friends and would not go this long without talking to someone. So that had been over a month. So yeah. who goes away for a month and doesn't talk to any of their friends and family? That's very unusual.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody goes away and has zero contact.
Right, and never uses their bank again, all this stuff.
Nothing.
Right. So the Pueblo District Attorney's Office asked a judge to dismiss the identity theft charges against Dante on March 25th of 2013, and that's what happened.
Yeah, because they couldn't prove that he stole her identity.
No, because I guess she'd given him permission to do it before.
Right. So.
But she wasn't with him.
I know, but all they were charging him with was identity theft and theft of money less than $500.
Right, right.
And they weren't going to be able to make that stick.
Well, what about seeing him in the parking lot with the car with his mother? How does that get explained?
Well, we have no idea, do we?
No. But I'm thinking if I was a juror and this case came to me, I would find him guilty just based on the circumstantial evidence that we know of so far.
What we've got so far, it sure sounds like he's involved.
Absolutely.
But we don't know that.
Whoever knows anything for sure, it just seems pretty likely.
I would have to agree.
Yeah.
It does.
So in early April of 2013, they had search dogs used to look for Kelsey. And at that time, the police were saying that they had no evidence that a crime had been committed. So it's been 2 months, and they're still not really looking at it as a crime. They're looking at it as a missing persons case. So on April 29th, Kelsey's family was very frustrated and they released their own statement. So I'm just going to read a little bit of it in part. It's very long, but I'm going to read parts of it that I thought were significant.
Okay.
So let's start with this paragraph. Okay. So we know that Kelsey made it to Pueblo and did meet up with Dante. No one has seen or heard from her since. We are not satisfied with Dante's original account of the events leading up to Kelsey's disappearance. We are informed that he has since refused to speak with the Pueblo Police Department. So, if you have a lawyer, can you just refuse to? I thought you still had to go in for questioning.
Yeah, but you don't have to talk to them.
That's true. So you plead the Fifth?
Yeah. Or you just say, I'm not. Unless you're going to arrest me, I'm not going to say anything.
That's true. Okay. So, it's been nearly 3 months since Kelsey went missing, Kelsey's mother said. She has not had contact with any of her family or friends. She did not run off. She had nothing to run from, nor does she have the resources to live her life apart from everyone she knows.
Exactly.
Right. So, she didn't have savings. She doesn't have her car. She has nothing that would lead us to believe that she's off living somewhere else.
No.
Which reminds me of Stacy Peterson. Well, of so many people, right? So many that they say, oh, well, maybe she just took off.
She just took off. But how do you do that with the limited resources that they have?
Right.
You can't.
Why would you do that without your car, without any savings?
I know.
Yeah. And if she was going to take off, she would just give him her debit card?
Yeah,
and
right.
Say, here, have fun, I'm going to disappear for a few months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but that's one of the things. Dante says she was in the car with him. The surveillance videos show that she wasn't.
Right.
So.
So he's lied there.
He's definitely telling a fib.
Yeah. Okay, a little bit more of the statement. So she continues. She left her apartment on the morning of February 4th with every intention of returning there that evening, and we know that because all of her possessions were left in her apartment. Her bank account has been accessed once since she went missing, and law enforcement has informed us that Dante Lucas was the one who accessed her bank account on that one occasion. We hope and pray that Kelsey is still alive and unharmed. We love and miss Kelsey so much and are more deeply saddened to know that whatever happened to her that night also involved her unborn child, my first grandchild, as well. We are doing everything in our power to find our missing loved one and would expect anyone involved to do the same. So that's the end of the statement.
And this is 3 months into it.
Yeah, it's in April.
And now we're 3 years into it.
Right.
What's been going on in that almost three-year period?
Yeah, not a heck of a lot. In September of 2013, the Pueblo police released information confirming some fears of Kelsey's family. So this police news release in September said, the Pueblo Police Department believes that these facts make it a probability that Kelsey has met with foul play due to her disappearance. On February 3, 2014, the Pueblo Police Department released the following statement. Schelling is still missing and her family needs closure. We believe there is someone out there who has intimate knowledge of the incident but may feel reluctant to come forth with the information. Please know that your information may be that one missing piece we need to bring this case to conclusion. And at that time, Dante Lewis was named as a person of interest.
Okay.
Okay.
So now, nothing came of that.
No. Laura Saxton, Kelsey's mom, was told by police that Kelsey's case was stalled because they haven't found Kelsey's body. So police pretty much admitted to her that they thought it was a homicide, but they really couldn't do anything unless they found a body. So they kind of were stuck.
Well, if you have a reasonable degree of certainty,
yes,
that she's met with foul play, you can proceed. You don't need a body.
No, but it seems like in most cases where there's not a body, there's some blood or something. They really have nothing. Although, they have him in the car, they have him lying, they have him getting money.
Yeah, I think you got enough to indicate that something happened to her.
So do you think that this DA and police department were just not as aggressive as they should have been? Because I kind of get that feeling.
It seems like that.
Yeah.
And I know that at some point they've turned it over to the Colorado Bureau of Investigation.
Right, right.
Which seems like a really good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, for a couple of reasons. It takes some of the heat off of your police department.
Yes.
And at the same time, you're getting more expert help to solve the crime.
Right.
So I at least applaud the Pueblo Police Department for doing.
Okay.
Okay, so Kelsey's family is offering a $50,000 reward for information leading to her location.
Yes, and there's a website, grand. Help Find Kelsey.
Over the last 3 years, 3.5 years, Kelsey's loved ones have staged numerous events and organized searches in Pueblo in an effort to keep the case alive with the police and the public. In May of this year, half a dozen signs were placed in the grass and rock areas on the south side of the Walmart parking lot with the store's permission.
So this was the parking lot where she originally had gone to meet Dante in Pueblo.
Right.
Yeah. So these
signs. And this is, I guess, the last place that we know she was sighted, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So the signs were put up, but they were all removed by some unknown person.
Which is very odd. Who would do that?
No kidding. Surveillance video shows the person taking the signs was a tall white male wearing black shorts and a white t-shirt who was driving a blue minivan. So if they're positive it's a white guy, that would eliminate Dante, who's African-American.
Yeah, but as we'll find out, we think that there may have been more people involved, at least in a cover-up in this case.
I'm sure.
Yeah. In February of 2015, Kelsey's parents, Laura Saxton and Doug Schelling, they filed a lawsuit alleging that Dante Lucas caused Kelsey's death and that his family members conspired with him or acted as an accomplice. Now, you said that his mother was spotted. Was that at the Walmart?
Yeah, when they dropped the car off. When he dropped the car off.
At Walmart.
At midnight at Walmart.
Not at midnight, right? Because she was there at midnight.
No.
Yeah, she arrived at like midnight that night.
No, she arrived earlier that night. This was at midnight. The car reappeared in Walmart.
Oh, that soon. Okay.
Dante got out of the car by himself and got into his mother's car.
Okay. I thought that was later in the morning.
We've already been at Walmart and at the street waiting for Dante.
Right.
And now the car's returned to the Walmart.
Okay. And no one reports seeing them that night?
No.
No. Okay. So he lives with his grandmother. Does the mother live with the grandmother too? I don't think so.
That's a weird arrangement.
Yeah. But what kind of mother? Would a mother actually help her son cover up murder of his girlfriend? That would be super sick.
Well, I don't know how to answer that. A mother would do something like that for her son, her child.
Yeah. Well.
A twisted mother. Right.
Yeah.
But she's going to look at it as, I got to do something to save my son because he's going to go to prison for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I guess so.
So she'll lie for him.
So there is a possibility that the family members actually conspired with him to get rid of her. Maybe he told his family that she was pregnant, and they all decided to get rid of her.
Yeah, okay. Now, why would they do that? Why would there be a conspiracy theory to get rid of one little pregnant white chick?
Well, maybe they thought him having a pregnant girlfriend would ruin his wonderful future as a basketball player.
We already know he had no future as a basketball player.
Well, they might not have known that. Oh, they might have still been hopeful.
I doubt it. He did this on his own. I mean, they might have helped cover it up, but they didn't help plan it or execute it.
Well, there were four family members that were named in the suit. Dante, Sarah Lucas, Don Shay Lucas, and Vivian Lucas. And they all deny the allegations, of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do?
You're very cynical.
I try to be.
You're very hard. Okay. Deputy Chief Andy McLaughlin, Sergeant Ken Espinoza, and Detective Neil Robinson. So these are the guys that are defendants in the civil case from the police department. And also the city of Pueblo is named as a defendant in the civil case. So we have Dante and his family, we have these three policemen, and the city of Pueblo are all named in this civil case. And this lawsuit alleges that the Pueblo police have obstructed the investigation of Kelsey's disappearance and actually lied to the parents. Now that's quite an accusation.
In what way did they lie? Has that been stated?
Yes, it has. I have it somewhere in here. Let me finish this part, and then I'll let you know about that, because okay. I do have that somewhere. So the parents also accused the police of not searching Lake Minocqua in Pueblo, even after there was a fisherman who said his line may have encountered a body.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this fisherman, they looked into him, and I can't remember his name, but he had no history of mental illness or of a criminal past. So I don't know why they wouldn't look into that.
I wouldn't either.
So they thought that that was a good reason to sue them, that showed at least incompetence, if not actually avoiding doing their job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a fisherman. I don't know, unless he saw the body, how he can tell that his line was snagged on a body.
Well, he must have seen a body.
I guess he'd have to.
Yeah, or what he thought was a body.
Because you couldn't. I mean, if you had some submerged branch or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can tell without seeing something.
Oh, so here's the part where they lied. So Laura Sexton also claims that Detective Neil Robinson searched Kelsey's car and told the family that the car was wiped clean and there was no evidence recovered from the car. But Robinson confessed later on that he had lied and there were bodily fluids that had been recovered, but they had not been submitted for testing. So if this is true...
What
the fuck?
What?
Yeah. So that's true.
So there was evidence in the car that never got...
Tested. And they actually lied to her and said there was no evidence that it had been wiped down.
Okay. How much money do you want, folks?
Yeah. Well, if they did that, I don't understand.
No.
But the next court hearing is set for late in the year. The police defendants and the city have asked for the lawsuit to be dropped. Shocking. And until a judge rules on that request, the case is on hold. The Lucas family defendants are representing themselves. They didn't hire an attorney. So they must feel pretty confident that they are innocent of any of these charges. They don't feel the need to hire a lawyer.
And this is after Dante refused to talk to the police anymore without a lawyer.
Yeah, he had a criminal lawyer, but for the civil case, they don't have an attorney. They're...
Okay.
Yeah.
That's stupid sounding.
What's that saying about a fool for a client?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a lawyer who represents himself
has a fool
for a lawyer and a bigger fool for a client or something like that.
Yeah. I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah. There have been some crazy people that have represented themselves in the past.
Uh-huh.
So the civil suit was amended in the spring to include complaints that the Pueblo Police Department botched the case by failing to send evidence off for testing and ignoring significant leads. So leads would include the body in the lake, I would think. That's a lead.
Uh-huh.
And there are more, according to the mother. I don't know what they were. And then why would you not send evidence off? I don't get it.
So is this evidence somewhere in the police department? Can it be tested?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or did they throw it away?
Who knows? I don't know.
Okay.
But they said that they got some bodily fluids,
so
there's DNA right there.
Right.
So, what the heck?
I know.
Yeah.
So, is there anything from the Colorado Bureau of Investigation? Any statements from them? Because they're taking over the case?
No. According to Kelsey's parents, though, the police department refused to send the video and images to the Colorado Bureau of Investigations or the Federal Bureau of Investigations, because they could have done further enhancement of these videos and pictures, but they didn't try and do that to get an idea of the guy. So why would they not do that?
I don't know.
Yeah. So if Laura Sexton's correct, I do think that there's a valid lawsuit there.
Well, it sure sounds that way.
Right.
There's a lot of damning things there.
There are.
Yeah. You know? Evidence that was not released, leads that weren't followed up on.
Right.
Telling the mother that the car was clean when it wasn't.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'd say so.
So I guess if we're planning on murdering somebody, we should do it in Pueblo, because they'll fuck up the investigation.
Yeah. I don't know. It is kind of a rough town. It has a high crime rate, so I don't know if they're busy. Not that that's an excuse, but maybe that's a factor.
That's not an excuse.
It's
not even a factor.
No.
No.
Okay. I mean, as far as I know, his family doesn't have any connections to the police department, but what do I know? They could.
I don't know.
So that's very strange. And then there was this part on 2020 about how Laura Sexton had gotten a Facebook message saying that Kelsey was in some kind of sex slave industry, and they could get her back for her for a certain amount of cash.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know why they put that on the episode, because I found it kind of lame.
Yeah.
Kind of pointless.
It's obviously a scam.
Yeah, it was. But you know what shocked me about that is the police wouldn't go with them.
Right.
So if you've got someone running a scam like that, why wouldn't the police go with you and arrest them? That was bizarre to me.
Got me.
Yeah, because they had the 2020 investigators wearing a wire and going with her. They met at a McDonald's to meet this guy that had a red hat, and he wanted the money, and he was going to turn over Kelsey.
Yeah.
But then when they stopped and talked to the guy, he said he knew nothing about it. He was just told that he was going to make money by picking up jewelry
Just a middleman.
Right. Which we don't know if that was true.
No.
But I would think...
But that's my story.
Yeah. Right. I would think that would be illegal, though, to prey on people like that.
Well, they got to catch the people that did it.
Well, just because this guy says it wasn't him, they could check IP addresses and look into it. But they didn't do any investigating about it.
Well, they did. The IP address was somewhere in Russia.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So they're never going to track that down.
So that's why they couldn't do anything. Okay. So according to the guy who met them there, he just got an email. So one of these emails like, I'm a prince in Saudi Arabia, and I just need you to pick up this for me, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So that's what this guy was saying happened to him.
Yeah.
Which could be.
And I think so.
Yeah. And there was another missing girl that was put on there that the same thing had been done with her mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they were trying to draw some parallels between the two cases, and there just doesn't seem to be any relationship whatsoever.
Oh, as far as the crimes of why they're missing?
The crimes.
No.
You know, it's just that maybe they were approached by the same scammer.
Yeah. That's true. Well, according to Kelsey's mom, Neil Robinson confessed that he had lied about finding the bodily fluids in the car and had not sent any of them out for testing and would not give her a reason why. So that's when she decided that she was going to amend the case and add that to the civil suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
There are some laws, I don't know if they're laws, but for lack of a better word, I'll say laws, that prevent people from suing the city for things like this.
Really?
Yeah, so they're waiting for the judge to rule on that. Well, you can't always sue your city for things because they would have no money left. It's like the pothole thing. If everybody sued the city every time they hit a pothole and got car damage. Just like when the guys plow the driveway and knock over the mailbox, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But releasing the city isn't the same, and the police department's still going to be in the suit, right? Or are they?
Well, it wasn't the department. It was three individuals from the department,
so
yeah.
So probably that's a wise way to go about it.
I would think so.
Instead of suing the department itself, which could fall under the aegis of the city.
Right. Well, I think that Laura Saxton probably hired an attorney to help her with this.
I'm sure she's got some smart attorney.
Yeah. The lawsuit amendment also added a claim for relief from civil conspiracy. And this was alleging that the police department and Lucas's family worked together to prevent the Schelling family from accessing evidence pertaining to their daughter's case. So, wow.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of information she has to prove that.
We will see, won't we?
Yeah, that's... Well, that makes me think that maybe there's a connection. So is there any way in this case that we could say Dante Lucas had nothing to do with her disappearance? What are our options? Let's go over those.
Well, we've done this before.
Well, yeah, this is what we do.
So she took off
on her
own.
So he asked her to come and see him.
Yep.
She was pregnant. Maybe he said something rude to her.
He said...
She got mad.
And she took off.
She said, here's my car and my credit card. I'm leaving. I'm fucking leaving. Here, take my money, all my money, my car.
Well,
that's...
I'm not going to get into that part.
Okay.
I think, yes, if we're looking at possibilities.
Yeah.
She gets down there. They meet. He says, I'm not going to be your father. I'm not going to help you.
Now, what we didn't mention is that the day before, she had sent him a text saying that she understood he wanted nothing to do with her, and she was okay with that.
Right.
Now, she probably wasn't okay with that, like, happy, but she seemed like she was going to accept that and
so
stay away from him.
That's the problem with that. If we suppose that he told her that night that he wasn't going to be involved, and she said, well, hell with it, I'm taking off.
Right.
Now,
so
going against
possible.
That, you've got... her statement to him that it doesn't matter if he's going to be involved or not.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, she's not going to give him her car and her credit card or her debit card and say, have fun.
Right.
And she's not...
Where would she go without a car? She's 2 hours away from home.
Ever going to contact her mother again. So,
right.
So I don't like that.
No. What else have you got?
The old sex slavery thing.
So he sold her, or she got caught? She was just out at the parking lot and some stranger grabbed her. Random crime. Crime of opportunity.
Possibly. Or Dante did it and sold her. But that's, you know, I know that's a favorite topic of conspiracy theory people, that, you know, people who disappear must have been sold into sex slavery.
Well, it does happen.
It does happen. I don't think it happens with any of the frequency that people suggest it happens.
Well, or under the kind of circumstances that we're talking about here.
Right.
The odds are very low, but it would be possible that she had her interactions with him. But even that wouldn't work, because if she had her interactions with him, if she had her interactions with Dante, and then, like he said, she let him out at the parking lot at Walmart and said she wasn't taking him home, just to go away.
Yeah.
So let's say she's in...
We have different tape versions of that, so it doesn't work.
Right, because even if a random person came and took her from her car there, why would Dante... What did he do? He went and...
He drove her car up and parked
it. Oh, he took her car to Walmart. So yeah. She wasn't even back at Walmart. Right. I keep getting confused about that part. Okay.
But it still doesn't work.
No. Okay.
And what does work is that he killed her.
So if you're...
With or without the assistance of other people in his family.
Right.
Or a circle of friends.
Yeah. So you're Dante's defense attorney. What are you going to put for reasonable doubt?
You've never recovered a body.
Sure.
Okay.
But I think when someone's missing for a certain amount of time and it's an adult and there's no bank activity or anything.
Right. I mean, eventually she'll be declared dead.
Correct.
But you still don't have a body.
Right.
You don't have really any evidence that links him with her that night. Right? Or do we have
there's
something?
There's the texts.
Yeah.
There's the cell phone locations. Right?
Yeah. But, you know.
And he admitted to a certain point that he was with her.
Well, he said he was with her.
Right, right.
But you don't have any hard evidence. I mean, anything on video. He said he took her to the hospital. He waited in the car and she went into the hospital.
Yeah.
Which she never did, of course.
Well, and I think it's pretty clear that she didn't, because there was no record of her being there as a patient.
But,
and there was no footage of her going into the building.
You don't have any evidence that he ever saw her that night, other than the texts back and forth.
Yeah.
So.
And what he says happened.
Right.
Right. Okay.
But you can also use that the other way and say, you know, there's so much circumstantial evidence that points to him.
Yes.
That you'd have to look at him as the prime suspect.
Well, why can't they find her body?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
How do these people disappear? Where are these people putting bodies that they're not being found? That's stunning to me, because I would think it'd be hard to hide a body.
It would be.
Yeah.
And we don't know what the fishermen snagged in the lake.
Right. And why didn't they drag the lake? Most of these cases, they drag the lake. They search the lakes and the bodies of water.
That could have, if that was her body. And this was when? 2 years ago that the fishermen?
3 years ago.
3 years, a long time.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think after several years, there's not much left in the water.
Right.
So that's the problem with that. So why didn't they search the body of water when they had the chance?
I don't know.
Yeah, that does seem incompetent.
You're
to
asking
me
a question I can't answer.
Yeah, I'm just thinking out loud, trying to get some, bouncing some things off you.
Well, I think we're both of the opinion that Dante is a guilty person.
We are, and I think it's reasonable to think that he is. I'm trying to be objective, and I really can't come up with any reason why I wouldn't think he's guilty.
But there's no other explanation, is there?
No, but why would he want to kill her? Do you think it would have been something he wanted to do? Or do you think it was a physical altercation that got out of hand?
It was an impulsive act.
Yeah. But I don't know. He was luring her there. So if he's luring her there, maybe it was planned. That's why I thought maybe the family was in on it and wanted to get rid of her. Why did he lure her there if he wasn't going to hurt her?
Yeah.
because I can't see any other reason why he would want her there. Because it didn't seem like he cared about her, he didn't care about the baby.
Yeah, and she's released him from responsibility, so.
Unless he was planning on talking her into having an abortion, but he wouldn't have needed to do that.
No.
Because I don't think he would have had any problem not taking care of his child.
It doesn't sound like it.
Probably would have been okay with that.
And she was ready to go on her own.
She was really stressed. She went and talked to her mother, and her mother said, you know, whatever support you need, I'm going to be here for you. And after that, she was kind of excited because she did want to be a mom. So even though she was young and it wasn't the greatest circumstances, it wasn't something that she was really distressed about. She had accepted the pregnancy and had some degree of happiness about it.
So maybe they met up, mm-hmm. and she's excited because he's promised her some surprise. And the surprise turns out to be some crap thing.
Okay.
You know, not even a surprise. And she gets pissed and she's yelling at him and stuff. And he gets mad at her and kills her.
Sure. But that still doesn't explain to me why he wanted her down there so badly.
Yeah, I know.
That's the only thing that makes me think he was planning something.
It would seem that way.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess we're kind of the same mind about this.
We're going to figure Dante's going to get his.
Yeah, well, it's been 3.5 years, and I don't know. A lot of these crimes do take a long time before they get to court.
Can take a while for justice to prevail.
Yeah, but it is considered a cold case, and he's never been named a suspect.
No, he's been named a person of interest.
Right.
But I think we need to follow up at some point and see what the Colorado Bureau of Investigation finds out.
Right.
There's got to be some follow-up, because they've been handed the case.
Yes. Yes, and I don't really have any information on what they've done. They're probably not...
It's too new.
They're not releasing anything at this point.
Right.
Right. Okay.
But we'll find out.
Yeah. Well, if anyone out there has any information about what happened to Kelsey, please call 1-855-4-Kelsey. K-E-L-S-I-E. 1-855-4-Kelsey. If you have any information that would help this family find out what happened to Kelsey.
It would be nice to have some closure to this.
Maybe bring this Dante to justice if he in fact did do what we think he did.
Right.
Right. Now, she was only 8 weeks pregnant, so it probably wouldn't be like the Scott Peterson case where we'd get a second degree murder because of the infant. How does that law work? How far along does she have to be?
I don't know.
That's tricky. Mean,
and it depends who you talk to, right?
Yeah. I think so.
So.
And it might be different in different states,
I'm thinking.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not going there.
Okay. We won't deal with that right now. Okay. Well, good case, and we'll be back in a few days.
Yeah, we got some cool stuff coming up, so stay tuned, folks.
Oh, yeah. We have a series. Let's tell them what we're going to do.
Oh, keep them a secret.
No, let's just give it. We have a little idea. So we have another series coming up like we did with, he's giving me looks. Like we did with the killer husbands, what did we do? Gosh, I'm having
We had Scott Peterson.
Oh, yeah, we had Charles, Gone Girl.
Charles Stewart.
But we started with the movie.
Movie Gone Girl, followed by
Yes.
Charles Stewart.
Yeah.
Drew Peterson.
Yeah.
And
Scott Peterson.
And Scott Peterson.
Right.
Not in that order.
No.
So we're going to do a movie about women killing husbands.
Yeah.
And
so
I
it'll be
think it's going to
Killer
be
Wives.
Body Heat.
With Kathleen Turner and William Hurt.
One of my all-time favorite movies.
So this is a classic. This is older than the movies we've done before.
Right.
But it's a classic. So if you can find it, I looked on Amazon. It's not free on Prime, but you can get it for like $2.99 or something. So if you can get a chance to watch the movie.
Yeah, because we're going to watch the movie, go over that, and then we're going to talk about three women that murdered their husbands.
Right. So that'll be 4 episodes.
Right.
Body Heat and then 3 episodes of Killer Wives.
And you, I think you have the Killer Wives.
Yeah, I'm not going to say yet because I'm still debating between a couple of them.
Okay.
But I've got a couple
of
them.
But it'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be. Okay. It'll be good. Okay, and as far as the snifter contest goes, I've really got some nice 5-star reviews. I've got it down to 3 now that are my top 3. And it's out of 15. So if you were to enter now, your odds are 1 in 16 that you would win.
Wow.
Those are good odds.
For the coveted snifter.
Yeah. What did you say the odds are on Powerball?
1 in 175 million.
Psh, those are bad.
Those aren't good.
These odds are much better.
So.
Yeah.
And you have till the end of the month.
Yep. Till the end of the month.
So you've got 10 more days.
Right.
To get your reviews in.
Yep. So end of the month, we're going to pick one, which is going to be hard. It's going to be hard for me to pick.
It is.
But we're going to pick one winner, and then you'll win a snifter. So it's pretty cool.
All right.
So lots of stuff to look forward to.
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.